So we're on Kuf Mem He today. Kuf Mem He. Let's take a look. Make that Kuf Nun He. I'm sorry, Kuf Nun He. So I'll begin on Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Let me just, the 10th very wide line on Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. I just want to do a line or two there. The Gemara says, Ashkele, Abaye Ashkele the Rabba, the Kam Shafshef Le the Bray, Agaba the Chamra. That Abaye encountered Rabba. Rabba was his uncle, and he was sliding down a child on the side of a Chamor. Amrle Kam Shtamishmar Bale Chayim. Now there's a din, you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos, we're afraid you'll break off a branch. So he says you're like violating that Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. So Amrle Stadim Lo Gazru Hu Rabbanan. That's just Stadim. It's not like riding the animal, it's just like sliding down the side of the animal. That's permissible. Now, there's another Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. And that's also because we're afraid you're going to break a branch. So you can't ride an animal on Shabbos. We're afraid you're going to break a branch to hit the animal with. And you can't climb a tree on Shabbos. We're afraid you're going to break a branch. So the issue is the same klalim seem to apply for both. That's where the Gemara takes it. So tzedadim with a tree would be if I have a stake in the tree, and then I'm using that stake. In other words, I'm not using the tree itself. I'm using the stake. Okay, let's take a look. Four lines from the bottom. Make it five lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Lema Kitznai, should we say that this discussion between Abaye and Rabba, whether tzadim are or are not permissible, tracks a machloka tanayim. There are morayim, and this is tanayim. It says, Ein olin la b'yom tov, Rav Shimon Lazar omer mishum remeir, olin la b'yom tov. So it's talking about a sukkah, and the sukkah has like a tree, like where one wall would be, and then I have a plank that's resting on that, on the tree, and then I have schach on top of the plank. So in other words, I have a wall, the wall is supported by the tree, and then the schach is supported on top. So we're concerned that the person may put an item on top of the schach and then be benefiting from the tree on Yontiv. And Yontiv, the same dinim is on Shabbos. So the Tana Kama says you can't go into such a sukkah because you're afraid you're going to use it. And Rav Shimon Lazar says, in a Remeir, you could. So my Laba HaKimifliki, is it not that the point of dispute between the two of them is as follows? Demar Savar Tzadim Masur. The first opinion holds that I can't even benefit from Tzadim, from the derivative benefit from the tree. Umar Savar Mutarin. One holds Mutarin. So if that's the case, so it would be Machlok and Amorayim. So Amar Abaye lo. So Abaye says, no, not necessarily so. The Kulinam with Stadim Asur, and they could all hold Stadim is prohibited. He says, Vahacha betzidate Stadim kimiflagi. Here, it's derivative of derivative, because they have the wall is resting on the tree, then the schach is resting on the wall. So it's a double derivative. He says, Vahacha betzidate Stadim kimiflagi, mar savar tzidate Stadim Asurin, mar savar tzidate Stadim Mutarin. So Abaye wants to say, really, Stadim everybody holds is prohibited. That's the way Abaye wants to go, and that's what he was questioning his uncle Rabba about as well. So Rava Amar, this is Rava with an Aleph, says, Manda Asar B'tzadim, Asar Nami B'tzidim, Manda Shari B'tzidim, Shari Nami B'tzadim. So Rava wants to say, it's all the Zel B'zach, like we would say, that it's all either Mutar or all Asur. There's no difference between Tzadim and Tzidim Tzadim. So if that's the case, the way Rava is saying it, it would reinstate the proof that it's a Machloket Tanayim. Eidvei Ramasharshia the Rava. So Ramasharshia posed a question to Rava from the following Brisa, and he's going to try to prove that it doesn't line up so well that way. So it's Na'at, and turn page on Kufnun Hamad Aleph 155a, Na'at Siyateid B'ilan, if he put a stake in a tree, Bitala Bakalkla, and he put a basket on it. So this is late Friday afternoon, the person's traveling, he wants to set up an Eruv, where he'll establish his Eruvei Tchumen, in other words, that he'll be able to walk 2,000 amot from this location. He's in transit and he wants to establish that this is his place of residence. So the Gemara says, so he hung a basket from it, and he's going to put the food in the basket. If the basket was placed above 10 tefachim, so the Eruv is not considered an Eruv, because he, the person, is in Rishus Arabim. The basket is itself 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. It's in Rishus Yachid. So on Shabbos, he's not allowed to take from the food from the basket to where he is. So that doesn't count as an Eruv. the says lamata me'asar tefachim, but if the basket is below 10 tefachim, he says iruvo eruv, it's in the same rishus. So the Gemara says tama denatz yateid be'ilan. So the point of the brisa is that he's only able to benefit the basket because he put a stake in it, and now the basket is hanging from the stake. So the stake would be tzadim, and the basket would be tzidei tzadim. It's like double derivative from the tree. The stake, if I benefit from the stake, that's tzadim, and now the basket is hanging from the stake, and now I'm benefiting from the basket, that's tzidei tzadim. So he says, so the implication is that without this ne'itza, without the stake, if I just hung the basket from the tree, I'd be sunk. So he says, so if that interpretation is correct, this Tana is saying, the basket on the stake, I can have an Eruv. But if the basket's hanging from the limb of the tree, I don't have an Eruv. So it's breaking the link. In other words, Rava said that it all rises and falls together. So if the one who holds Tzidei Tzadim is permissible, holds Tzadim is permissible, and one who holds the other way, he holds everything is prohibited. But here we see it's like broken apart. The person, Lechora, holds that Tzidei Tzadim is permissible, but Tzadim is not. So Amra Papa, Hacha Bekilkla Dechuka Askinan. So Rav Papa says, no, I could say this Tana holds everything is permissible, whether it's Tzadim or Tzidei Tzadim, but we're talking about a basket that has a narrow opening, a narrow opening. He says, Devahari Deshakile Le'eruv Kamenari Le'ilan. He says that if the basket was hanging from a limb of the tree, so he'd have to like squeeze his hand in it, and he would end up shaking the tree. He says, "V'kama shamish be'ilan gufa." So that's why he has to have the stake. But in Achinami, theoretically, there's nothing wrong with having the basket hanging from the limb of the tree and using the basket, according to the way Rava and Rapap understand it. But notwithstanding that, the Gemara says, "V'hilchata stadin asurin." The halacha is stadim are prohibited, tzidei stadim mutarin. So we're going not like the way Abayi was saying it. We're going l'chora the way Rava was saying it. That stadim are asurin, tzidei stadim mutarin. Amrabashi, Hashad Amit Stadim Asurin, now you tell me that Stadin, like the one derivative, is prohibited. Hai Darga Demidla Lo Lincha Inish Adikla. If a person has like a ladder, he shouldn't lean it against the tree. Dahabulhut Stadim, that would be Stadim. And with the ladder, I want to climb the ladder. They had like some sort of like sukkah in the tree, like I don't know, someplace he's got to go up, but he shouldn't lean it against the tree because now he's benefiting from the tree. He says, Ela linchi agabaze labarmi dikla. He should have stakes coming out of the tree and then rest the ladder on the stakes that come from the tree. And when he climbs up, he shouldn't put his feet on the stakes because that would be tzadim. He says, Ela litna chakanin. He should put his legs on the rungs of the ladder. So it'll be tzidei tzadim. It'll be tzidei tzadim. All right. Let me just see for one more minute. Yeah, they said it leads to a watchtower. He said that, I'm sorry, the watchtowers were built atop tall poles and positioned near palm trees. Okay, so it's not, the tower is not on the tree. The tower is a separate structure, but I want you to climb up and I'm going to, like, you lean the ladder against the tree. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right.
I got a question, Rabbi.
Yeah, I can't see you, Yosef. Let me see you.
Yeah, so how was Rava able to play that game with the son and the animal? If the halacha is you can't.
Yeah, so he held that Stadim are mutarim. That's the way Rava held. That's the way Rava held that Stadim are mutarim.
So this halacha was pronounced after?
Yeah, Lakora, right. Lakora after. All right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna move on. All right, let's see further. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah on Kufna and Hayam and Aleph, 155a in the Mishnah. Okay, now this Mishnah is talking about feeding animals on Shabbos, and the issues we get into are one of tircha, am I, you know, engaging in too much effort to feed the animals? And the other is, am I converting a non-food item into a food item, as we'll see in the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah is very confusing. We're just going to read through the Mishnah lightly. The Gemara will dissect the Mishnah, so please be patient, okay? So, matnitin, we learned in the Mishnah, matirin pakia amir lifnei behema. I can unloosen bundles of amir, is like straw, before behema, on Shabbos, umepaspasin et akipin, and I can scatter the kipin, and the Gemara will define what kipin are. He says, avalo et hazirin, but not the zirin, and the Gemara will again define what zirin are. I can't chop up the shachad as the fodder and the charuvin as the carobs before behema, being daka ben gasa, which is a small animal or a large animal. Rabbi Yehuda matir becharuvin ladaka. Rabbi Yehuda permits you to chop up carobs for a small animal. We'll see in the Gemara what the Mishnah means. Okay, we don't know yet. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, hey, hein pekin, hein keepin. So Rav Huna says, again, the first thing we had in the Mishnah were Pki Amir, and the second thing was Mepasin a keeping. So he says Pekin and keeping are the same thing. They're both bundles of straw. Pekin Trey, keeping Plata. The Pekin are bound with two ties, and the keeping are bound with three ties. So I have a bundle of straw, either with two ties or three ties. Zirin the Arze, whereas the Zirin are the cedar boughs. Now the cedar boughs are moist pieces of wood, but they're generally used for fuel, but now he wants to use it for food for the animal. Vahachi kamar, and this is what the Mishnah means according to Rav Huna, matirin peki amir lefnei behema, I can loosen up the double bound straw before the behema, and I could spread it out, vuadin lekeepin, and the three one that's bound three times, I could also unbind it and scatter it before the behema, avoloda zirin lulafasfes lulahatir, but the cedar boughs that are tied together, I can't unloosen it and I can't put it before the behema. So Amar Rav Chista, my time of the Rav Huna, so Rav Chista says, what's the reason for Rav Chista? Why is it that the straw I can unbind and scatter and give it to the behema, but the cedar boughs I'm not allowed to untie and feed it to the behema? Again, the cedar boughs are moist cedar boughs, which could be edible, but they're normally used for firewood. So the Gemara says, Kasavar lemitrach beuchla tarchinan. He holds that a person can work, can exert effort to make the food, enhance the food for the animal. I'm allowed to do that on Shabbos. L'shavuye uchla lo meshavina, but I'm not allowed to convert food from a non-food item to a food item. So so that being the case, the cedar boughs are like sort of designated to be firewood. And now by unloosening it and spreading from the animal, I'm changing it to food. So I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbos and on Yontif. Okay, that's the first piece. Everybody have that so far or not?
I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
Wouldn't this be mukse then?
That's a good question. It's a good question.
I was just going to say that.
Okay, you're all online with this. I don't have an answer for it. They said that Mepharshim asked that it should be mukse. But here, the Gemara gets into an issue. The first white line in Rashi, olude uchlo b'Shabbos, that it's like creating food on Shabbos. So I don't know. I don't know about the mukse part. Unless you say, the only thing I could think of is that generally, generally it would default over to being firewood, but you know, maybe in certain circumstances it could be animal food, but now he's like, converting it to animal food. Otherwise, I don't know the answer to that, but it's a good question. It's a good question. Okay, now, the five lines before it gets wide, the article mentioned it, but didn't give an answer, and I didn't look further into that. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, hein hein pekin, hein hein zirin. Rabbi Yehuda says that the pekin, which is the gathering of straw, and zirin, which is the third term, is also straw. Pekin tre zirin plata. The pekin are bound twice, and the zirin are bound three times. Kipin de arze, but the kipin, which was the middle term, are the cedar boughs. Vahaki kamar, and this is what, excuse me. This is what the Mishnah means according to Rav Yehuda. Bahi kamar matirin peki amir lefnei behema. One can loosen up the bundles before behema. Aval pispuse lo, I can't spread it. In other words, so if it's a bundle, whether it's a double bound bundle or a triple bound double, I can untie it, but I can't scatter it in front of the behema. He says the keepin, according to him, is the cedar boughs. Pispuse nami mepaspasino. There, the cedar boughs, I have a green light to do everything with it and spread it before the behema. Avalo hazirin lepasbeis. The zirin is the three-bound straw that I can't spread out. El lahatir. So I'm a Rava, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda. So Rava says, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Kisavar. One second. It should be Rav Yehuda. It shouldn't be Rabbi Yehuda. That should be Tama de Rav Yehuda.
That's what it says here.
Where does it say? Let me see.
On the right side in the art scroll.
Yeah, but in the Gemara it says Rav Yehuda. Okay, so I'm a Rav.
No, it says Rav Yehuda on the left side too.
When my Gemara says, my Gemara says Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amarava, my Tamad Rebbe Yehuda, Ksavar, Shavu Uchla Meshavinan. He holds that, that we're allowed to turn the non-food into the food item for the animals. That we could do. Mitrach Ba'uchla Lo Trachinam. But I can't exert a lot of effort to enhance the food. In other words, when the food is spread out, it's more delectable for the animal. It's like not as heated, Rashi says. It's more tasty when it's all spread out. Okay, so we have two pshatim in the Mishnah. So one pshat is that I'm allowed to engage, they're both diametrically opposed to one another. One is I'm allowed to spread straw in front of the animal, but I can't, you know, unleash the cedar boughs. And the other is, no, I can unleash and spread the cedar boughs, but I can't spread the straw. So the Gemara says, Tanan, now we're going to plug these pshatim into the Mishnah. Tanan, we learn the Mishnah, emaras, the next clause in the Mishnah. Tanan, emaraskin et ha-shachat v'et ha-charuvin lefnei behema, that I can't chop up the shachat, which is the fodder, and the carobs before behema, bein daka, bein kasa, whether it's a small animal or a big animal. He says, my love, charuvim dumi de shachat. Is it not that the carobs are similar to the fodder? Ma shachat de rakiche af charuvim de rakiche. Everything we think is soft, and I can't chop it up. Ama lo tarchinim ba'uchla. So if that's the case, so it means all the food is edible, it's soft food, but the Tana is saying I can't chop it up, I can't make it more delectable for the animals, because it's already edible right now. The tiyuf to Rav Huna, that would be shlag up Rav Huna. Rav Huna says I could be matriach with the food, and here, the way we're interpreting the next clause in the Mishnah, I can't be matriach with the food. Amalach Rav Huna would say to you, lo, shachat dumi de charuvin. It's not true that everything is soft. I think everything is hard, and it was not edible. He says, ma charuvin da kushi af shachat da kushi. Just like charuvin, typically carobs, you know, from Tu B'Shvat are typically hard. So to the shachat, it's talking about that the fodder was also hard. So hechi mashkachat lo, so where do we find that fodder is so hard? So in other words, so the Mishnah is saying, according to this Hesber, to make it reconcilable with Rav Huna, that I can't take inedible food and make it edible, which is what he says. So he says, where do you find that fodder is so hard that the animals can't eat it? So the Gemara says, Be'ile Zutre, with the young donkeys, sometimes the fodder is so hard, they can't eat it. So we've been able to interpret the Mishnah. The next clause, the Mishnah, according to both pshatim. So again, so according to the second pshat, we're going to say we're talking about soft carob, soft fodder, and it's saying that I can't enhance the food. The other one will say no, it's talking about hard carob, hard fodder, and I can't turn inedible into edible. Okay, Tashma. Now the Gemara goes to the next line of the Mishnah and trying to plug that in. And again, this will be a question against Rav Huna. Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Matzir b'charuvin ladaka. So Rabbi Yehuda, he hears what the Tanakhama says, and he says, no, I think you could chop up charuvin, carobs, for a small animal. Ladaka in lagasalo. That means only for the small animal, not for the big animal. So the Gemara says, "Iam b'shleim tana kama saver mitrach ba'uchla lo tarchinan shivui mishavinan." If I say the tana kama holds, I'm not allowed to, be involved with food, but I could turn non-food into food. Hainu de ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda charuvin ladaka nami shivui uchlahu. In other words, so according to the tana kama, it's saying that the carobs are soft carobs, and so I can't chop it up to make it more to enhance the food. But the Rabbi Yehuda was saying that for a young animal or a small animal, even the carobs are hard to chew and it's inedible. So this Tana holds, the answer would be that he holds that I could chop up food to make it edible for the small animal. He says for the young small animal, it can't eat it. He says, so then the flow of the Mishnah makes sense. Tanakhama says I can't because it's edible. And Rabbi Yehuda says for the small animal, it would be making it into food. Ella, we're four lines from the bottom on Kufnan Hamad Aleph, 155a. He says, Ella, I amri Tanakhama savar shivu uchlum shavinan. But if I hold the Tanakhama holds, I'm not allowed to convert non-edible into edible. Mitrach v'uchla mitarchinam. But the only thing I'm allowed to do is be toreach to work with food that's existing already. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda d'matir b'charuvin l'daka kol shekin l'gasa. So if we assume that they're all on the same page, they all agree with the same principles. So the Tana Kama holds, I can't convert something into food, but I can something that is food that I can enhance it. So if I can enhance charuvin for the daka animal, who, in other words, it's hard for him to chew to begin with, but if that's called enhancing, certainly I could enhance it for the big animal. So the Gemara says, "Mi sabra daka mamish." Do you think that daka means a small animal? My daka gasa. What does daka mean? Daka means a big animal. Umai kari the daka. What is called daka? The daika ba'ochla, that he chews his food very well. So the Tana Mishnah would be teaching me again. This is going within Rav Huna. Rav Huna says he says lamitra beuchla tarchinan. So to enhance the food, I could do it. So for this animal, he wants to chew it very well, so I can enhance it by chopping it up. That's what he wants to say. So the Gemara says, "Hami d'ktani reisha bein daka bein gasa." Mechalad Rabbi to daka mamish ka'amar kasha. The Gemara says, "Yeah, but the early the Gemara referred to daka and gasa, so that means small and large animals. So now it doesn't make sense that he shifts over. Daka is the big animal that's just chewing well. So the Gemara leaves that as a kasha. Okay, so let's just summarize again what we did. So basically, we have two ideas in the Mishnah between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, and they're both diametrically opposed to one another. So Rav Huna says the Mishnah means, I'm allowed to be matriach. I can exert myself to make the food, you know, enhance the food for the animals. So I can unbind the bundles of straw and spread it out for the animals. But I'm not allowed to take like the cedar boughs, because that'll be converting non-food into food. That I can't do. Whereas according to the other Amora, Rabbi Yehuda, he says the Mishnah means just the opposite. So the Mishnah holds the cedar boughs I'm allowed to do. I'm allowed to convert non-food into food, but I can't be matriach myself. I can't overexert myself with enhancing the food. So I can only unbundle the straw. I can't spread it out. What's up, Fern?
If the animal would have no food unless you did any of this, is that a Tzar Bal Chaim? Is that ever Docheh Shabbos?
But what do you mean? They're both enabling the food. Nobody's saying not to give food to the animal. Everybody has a way to give food to the animal, right? Both Tzadim hold as a way to give food to the animal, right? It's just
Well, it depends. If you can't use the cedar boughs and that's all you have.
Oh, you mean, so the animal is going to keel over. All I have is the cedar bough.
Right,
so,
now what?
So what would the according to Rav Huna, what would the Tana of our Mishnah say? Do I
right,
have to?
That's the question.
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. I'll pass on that. I'm so sorry, Fern.
That's
all right.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a look.
I think it matters if you hold Saba al Chaim is the right or the Rabbanon, like we had in the case yesterday.
I tell you, all have good svaras. I think what you're saying is very good, Yosef. But again, I don't know the answer to the question. But that's a good ha'ara if you say Tzara Balei Chaim is Doraisa. So possibly the only thing.
Then which is Docha which?
Well, that's the only thing that I am not so clear on. In other words, like you have Gezeira Derabanan.
Mok says Derabanan.
Right, but I'm saying, like, if the Chachamim were saying
Shaita, we didn't declare it Muktzah yet.
Yeah. We didn't get into an issue of Muktzah. We got into an issue of, like, what are you allowed to do on Shabbos? Rashi said it was Oludei Uchla B'Shabbat. It's like creating food on Shabbos, according to Rav Huna. So, again, I don't know the answer to the question. Okay, let's take a look. So, Tashma, so we try to bring a proof from the following Mishnah. It says, Mechatka, in turn page, et adiluin lefnei ha-behema. You could chop the gourd on Shabbos and Yontiv before behema, be'et ha-nevela lefnei ha-klavim. And the nevela, the dead carcass before dogs. My love, diluin dumi de nevela. Is it not that diluim are similar to nevela? Ma nevela derakicha. Nevela, we take it, is soft. It's not hard. Af diluin derakicha. So to diluim are also soft. So if it's saying that I'm allowed to chop it up and it's already soft, so that supports Rav Huna. That sounds like I it's already edible, but I'm like making it, it's like chopping up food for your child. I'm making it more nicer for the animal. But you have to Rav Yehuda. Amalak Rav Yehuda, lo, nevela dumi de diluin. So Rav Yehuda would say no. The nevela is similar to diluin in this case. Ma diluin de ashune. Diluin are typically hard. He says, af nevela de ashune. That it's talking about a hard nevela. He says, So that's the way Rav Yehuda interprets it. Vehechi mashkachala. So where would I find a hard nevela that has to be chopped up, according to Rav Yehuda, to render into food? The basar pilei, with elephant meat. It's interesting they were familiar with elephant meat. Elephant meat apparently is very hard. I don't know. He says inami, or else I could say beguria tezutre. It's talking about young puppies. In other words, the dogs are young and they're not able to eat the regular meat, and they have to have it chopped up to make it edible for them. Okay, Tashima, the Gemara tries to bring another proof. Detani Rav Chanan min Neherda'a. Rav Chanan from Neherda'a taught the following brisa. It says, Mefarchinan teven ba'as pasta uma arvin. One can chop up straw and aspasta and fodder and mix it up. Alma tarchinan ba'uchla. So that sounds like it's food existing. I have food, but I'm chopping it up to make it more edible. So the Gemara says, no. The other side will explain it, that, and then this is Rabbi Yehuda will say, Tevin Petivnasarya, that the Tevin is talking about is like spoiled Tevin, and it's not so spoiled, it could be eaten, but he's like mixing it up, well, I don't know, but maybe with, what does he have with, he's mixing the straw with the fodder, so everything will be that way. Aspasta, and the aspasta is crumbling because it's being fed to young donkeys, be'ili zutre, and they can't eat it that way. So Rabbi Yehuda has a way to interpret that brisa, I'm converting non-food into food. In other words, that the food is not edible by the animals, and now making it edible. All right? Everybody good? Any questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, I'm going to move on. Okay? All right. So the first very wide line and the next Mishnah. So manitin ein ovsin and hagamal. Now it's talking about stuffing an animal, and stuffing an animal is either like too much tircha, or it might involve the kashash that you might crush the beans or things like that and be chay for tochein. So those are the two tzadim with that. So it says ein ovsin and hagamal. So ovsin is like the super stuff, like that's an issue of volume. He says below dorsin abal mal'itin. Now dorsin and mal'itin, we'll come to see in the Gemara, will discuss what dorsin and what mal'itin are. But in now each one, all the animals we assume have the same din. So whether it's gamal, whether it's egel, whether it's birds, they all have the same dinim. They just have different verbs to describe the feeding process. He says, "Ve'ein mamirin ha'galim abamalitin." So I can't be mamir the egalim, but it could be malit. Umahal katin l'tarnagolim, but only mayim l'mur son. I can add water to the bran of a l'govlin. I can't eat it. I can't put water before bees and for the doves and the dovecot. I can put it before the geese and the chickens and before the Herodian pigeons. Okay, we'll see. The Gemara will analyze the Mishnah and hopefully explain it. Okay, so the Gemara says, "My ain ovsin." What is the first term in the Mishnah? It says, "Ain ovsin and agama." What is to be oves? So oves, as I told you already, is an issue of volume, how much food is involved. So my ain ovsin. We don't make a trough in its stomach. In other words, they would stuff the camel before they take a trough. So an avos is like a big feeding trough. So I don't feed it so much. It's like an avos that's in the stomach. Is there such a thing? In Uktamar Revirim Yudifti, like Revirim Yudifti says, Ladidi Chazi Lehu Taya'a, I saw a certain Arab, the ochla kura, he fed his camel a kur, which is a tremendous amount of tavua, batina kur, and loaded up with a kur. So in other words, he carried additional food for the trip. So there is such a thing as stuffing that animal, but doing such stuffing you can't do on Shabbos. And again, either it's an issue of tircha, or we're concerned that he might crushed maybe beans or things like that, b'chai for tochein. So then, ein ma'amirin. So now the Mishnah said that with an ego, with a calf, I can't be ma'amir. And again, I said that all the verbs are the same here. We have to figure what they mean. So ezo yamra be'ezi halata. So again, with the ego, the Mishnah says I can't be ma'amir the ego, but I could be malit the ego. What's what? So Amar Rav Yehuda, hamra'a l'makom sheni yichol lahachzir. If hamra is I stick it down its throat to a place where it can't spit it up anymore, it's like sticking it deep down. Halata l'makom shechol lahachzir. Halata, I'm sticking it in, but it could spit it out. Okay, so that's the first shot from Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the way it's going to come out at the end of the sugya, the way we hold. Okay, everybody got it? Everybody's so quiet. Okay, I assume everybody's okay. So that being the case, so with the gamal, it says lo dorsin of amalitin. In other words, so I can't stick it down all the way down the throat. The idea of stick it down all the way down the throat, too much tirka. But if I stick it down a little bit where it could spit it out, that's not so much tirka, and that I could do. So he says, Rav Chista amar, Rav Chista says, no. All the terms are talking about sticking it down so far where I can't spit it out. He says, Vahamra'a bechli, hamra'a, which is the prohibited action, is using a keli, using a utensil. That's more tirka to stuff it down. Halata biyad. Halata is using your hand. Okay? So again, so the basic idea is hamra'a I'm not allowed to do, and halata I could do. So either hamra'a is either sticking it down where I can't spit it up anymore, and halata is sticking it down not so deep. That could be one shot. Or, according to Rav Chista, they're both deep down, but one is using a keli, one not using a keli. So using a keli is much more tircha, and I can't do that. Mati Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef poses a question, and this question is from our Mishnah. Let's take a look. One second. This is from a Brisa. It says, Mati Rav Yosef, Mahalkatin l'tarnagolim ve'ein tzirich lamar shamalkitin. We have to define the terms, obviously. These verbs, I can be mahalkit for tarnagol, and certainly I can be malkit, vein malkit in leone shovach leone aliyah, but I can't be malkit to the doves. He says, vein srich lamar shein mahalkitin. My mahalkitin and my malkitin. Ilim mahalkitin de safi labi adayim. If I say mahalkitin is where I feed it with my hands, malkitin de shadid li kamayhu. Now malkitin, let's see. Mahalkitin shmalkitin. He says malkitin. We think is I throw the food in front of it. Michlal the only shoba for only mishta kamayu nami lo. That would lead me to the conclusion that that in front of the doves, I can't even throw the food in front of them, and we don't understand why that could possibly be prohibited. Though the Gemara will give a reason for that. Elalav mahalkitin l'makom sheinichol lahachzir. So the Gemara thinks it must be mahalkitin. I'm shoving it down to a place where I can't spit it up. Malkitin shemakom shekol lahachzir, and malkitin is to a place where it could spit it up. Mechlal de hamra'a bechli. So hamra'a, which is another term, must be with a kli. The chief did Rabbi Huda, and think what Rabbi Huda is going to be schlugged up with this. So in other words, the Gemara is introducing new terms, and we're assuming that all the animals are the same, and we know that hamra'a is not allowed. So by passive elimination, the only thing we're left is that Hamra is with a kli. That would be shlak of Rav Yehuda, and that would shlak of Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said that they're both with, one is like deep down where it can't spit it up, and then where it could spit it up. So Amalak Rav Yehuda, liola mahalkatin desafi lebi adayim. No, mahalkatin is where I feed the birds with my hand. Malkitin shadilei kamayu. Malkitin, I mahalkatin is I stuff it down with my hands. Malkitin shadilei kamayu, I throw the two in front of it. He says, why would I possibly not be permitted to give tevua to a bird on Shabbos? So he says, Hani mizonatan alecha, vani mizonatan alecha. If the bird does not depend on me to feed it, so I'm not allowed to feed it on Shabbos and Yantip. That's considered like a tircha that's not necessary. Kidatani, like we learn in the Braisa, no nimizonal thing kelev, I can give food before the kelev for the dog, but no nimizonal thing chazir, I can't give it before the pig. My hefresh means zelazer. What's the difference between a dog and a pig? Zem is on a tamalecha. The dog relies on you, presuming it's your dog, to feed it. Zem is on a tamalecha. The pig, and again, a Jew is not allowed to raise pigs, so we say the pig is not your responsibility. It's aim is on a tamalecha. So we have a pshat to explain the brisa according to Rav Yehuda. Amar Ravashi, manitin nami deka. Ravashi says, a careful reading of our Mishnah would yield the same result. It says, Ein oni mayim lefnei devorim lefnei yonim shebashovach, that we don't give water before the bees and for the doves in the shovach, while notnim lefnei avazim lefnei tarnagolim lefnei yonei hardisiot. But I could put it before the geese, the chickens, and the Herodian doves. My taima, la mishum dahani mizon tanalacha, is it not that the ones that I'm allowed to, I'm required to feed, whereas with the bees and the other yonim, the shovach, they don't depend on me for food. So the Gemara says, if that's the pshat in the Braisa, why does the Braisa mention water? afilu chitei sari namilo, which you mentioned even wheat and barley. El shani maya, it could be that he's responsible for feeding all of those animals. El shani maya the shchichi ba'agma, but water is different because water is found in the marshes. They can get water on their own. So it could be that the animals do rely on him for food, but it's just water they're on their own with that. All right, let me just do a little bit more and then I'll pause. Darsh Rav Yona Pidcha de Benasiya, Rav Yona Darshan at the entranceway of the house of the Nasi, Maitativ Yodea Sadiq Din Dalim. Sadiq is the righteous one, is a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the law of the poor people. Yodea Kadosh Baruch Hu Bekelev Shem Zonatam Muatin. Kadosh Baruch Hu realized dogs don't have a lot of food, apparently. Lefichach Shoheh Akil Tomeyav Shoshi Yamim. So he created where the food stays in the dog's stomach for 3 days. Kidatnan Kama Tisha Akila Tomeyav Ihe Tamei. How long, let's say a dog that sounds a little ghoulish, he ate a human, he has human flesh in his gut. So when the dog is walking around with human flesh in its gut, that's tuma balua. So it doesn't spell the tuma. But once the dog dies, all bets are off and it would spread the tuma. So he says, how long would that be true? So after the dog eats the human flesh, he says, Bekelev shloshe yamim meit la'ed. With a dog, 3 days. In other words, 3 days we takes it. I'm saying that Shai is not here to help to comment on dogs. Takes it that the dog takes 3 days to digest the food and the human flesh is still in its gut for 3 days. So if the dog dies, it would be metame, the OL where he's in the place. Uva ofur of dagim, but if it's a bird or a fish, he says, Kadeshi pol or batisa reif. So it's just the amount of time that it would take the food that he ate to be put in a fire and burn up. So it's a less period of time. Am Rav Huna shmamina orachar lemishta umtsa lekalba. So Rav Huna says, from here one could deduce that it's derech eretz to throw an umtsa, like a little piece of meat, to a dog. The kama, Amar of Mari, Meshach Udne, the Meshach Udne is like the size of the dog's ear, the Chutra Abatre, and then give it a whack with a stick afterwards so it doesn't follow you. Hani Mile Bedabra, that's out in the field, the Baba Matalo, the Atal Mishrach, but in the city, don't feed the dog because it's going to follow you all over the place. All right, let me just do 4 more lines and I'll pause. Amra Papa, late the ani mikaba, late the atir mechazir. There's nothing poorer than the dog. Dog always needs food. Late the atir mechazir. No, he's wealthier than the pig. The pig eats everything. He's got food all over the place. Tani kavati the Rav Yehuda. Now the Brisah, the Gemara says, we learn a Brisah that supports Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, the difference was how deep I stick the food. So I can't stick the food too deep where it can't spit it up, but I could stick it in this gut where it could spit it up. He says, Ezu Yamra Ezu Ata, Hamra Marbitsa Upoke Sapia, Umakila Karshina Umayim Bivarachat. Hamra, which is what you're not allowed to do, is I sit the animal up, I prop open its mouth, and I feed it vetch and water in one spell swoop. Halata Makila Mumad, Halata, I feed it when the animal's standing. Umashkim umad, benonim karshin with the asman, only with the asman, each one separately. But the idea is that supports Rav Yehuda that it's not sticking so deep. Okay, so the basic idea we learned was when it comes to feeding the animals, so there's a question. According to some Rishonim, it's the amount of tircha that it's involved with feeding the animals. So according to the way Rav Yehuda understands it, I'm allowed to stick the animal in the animal's throat and stick it down, but I can't stick it down so far where the animal can't spit it up. That I cannot do on Shabbos and Yantiv, according to the way that Rav Yehuda understands it. And according to Rav Chista, which the Gemara seems to reject, is the issue isn't how deep I stick it down, it's whether I use a keli for it or not. So using a keli, that's verboten, but not using a keli, I can stick it down all the way down. And then Agav Orach, we studied that I'm not allowed to feed an animal. If an animal doesn't depend on me for food, I'm not allowed to feed the animal on Shabbos and on Yantiv. That's again a tircha, that's viewed as a tircha that's not required. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
So this last part that said you're allowed to feed the dog, that's talking about your own dog or a stray dog?
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me just take a look again. 1 second.
It was talking about beating it with a stick and letting it go, so that wouldn't be your dog.
So how are you allowed to feed it then?
One second.
Dar Bal Chaim?
Dogs that are outside, that could be your dog, that are in a farm, you let them go also. It's not like the dog here in the United States that comes into the house. Europe, the dogs were out in the street.
One second. Give me 1 second. One second. So we're talking about our dog, and then the Gemara said, one second. Yeah, I'm not sure that the later, he says here, if you look in footnote 34, he quotes the Magen Avraham, deduces from this Gemara that the feeding of even a stray dog is considered one's responsibility, and one may do so even on Shabbos. That's like you're saying, Yosef. That's what it says in footnote 34. But then he says, compare Lavush. So it sounds like it's a machloket poskim. When he says compare, means the other opinion does not agree with that. So the only other way I would think of is to say that second statement is not talking about Shabbos. Then it would remove all the issues. It's saying it's during the week, you help him out, but on Shabbos not. But if I say it's on Shabbos, you're right. Then it comes out that you could feed a stray dog. That's the way Lavush says.
Just a comment. They also, geese are fed, force-fed, and they put the food down their long neck in order to produce pate, which is a very expensive item.
There's another word for it. What is that thing called with the stuffed? Not pate. They call it something else. What is it called? Right. That's it, Lydia. Okay. Now he's got a whole piece here in the Aladaf. He says the Ran deduces that the key factor regarding the Easter to feed animals on Shabbos is whether or not they have a plentiful supply of food available elsewhere. Consequently, he asserts that one may feed stray animals or wild birds if their food supply is limited. That's also going with that Malach Yosef. He says the Rambam, however, rules that one may only feed his own animals, which depend on him for food. However, one may not feed wild birds or fish. The Ruch HaShulchan asserts if one sees a starving stray animal on Shabbos, the Rambam agrees that there is a mitzvah to take pity and feed it. So there is some discussion about the starving animal. Now I'm going to skip a piece here, but he mentions there's a custom to place crumbs outside for the birds on Shabbos Shira. Since Shabbos Shira always occurs during the wintertime when the birds' food supply is scarce, according to the Ran, it would be permitted to feed the birds even on Shabbos. So again, so this whole tumult in the postgame, are you allowed to feed the birds on Shabbos Shira? And they say not to leave the animal for the food for the birds, you're feeding, but one way he wants to say that there's not a lot of food available in the winter, so some want to say that if the animal doesn't have a lot of food, you could feed it. He says the Magen Avraham, however, writes, since the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with the Rambam, one should not place the crumbs outside on Shabbos Shira, but rather on Erev Shabbos. Likewise, the Maharil writes that one should not throw crumbs to the fish during the Tashlik recital on Rosh Hashanah, since the Easter of feeding wild animals and fish applies on Yom Tov as well. And the only way out of that could be, or one way out of it, and this Rav Lerner mentioned to me, is if, like you say, I'm not giving it to it, I'm like throwing it in place A, and then the animal is coming and getting it. Like I'm not, throwing the food directly to the animal. But I think the better practice, frankly, is not to get involved with it, and then you don't have any questions with it. Okay? All right. Let me just wrap it up with the Gemara today. And again, I'm just repeating. So the Siyum is tomorrow night, 8:30. I sent the wrong time out to everybody. 8:30 p.m. will be the Siyum tomorrow night. I hope everybody will be there. Okay? So let's take a look. Now, and you had a very nice daf today. I always loved it. Today's daf had a nice story about Rabbi Akiva. I always loved the Agadita, but that's the way it unfolded. Okay. Mahal Katin Tarnagel Mechule, Amar Abaye, Amri Tekami Damar. So Abaye said, I said before the master, I thought it would be Rabba, but the article said it was Rabbi Yosef, Manitin Mani. Who does our Mishnah go like? Now, our Mishnah says that you're allowed to mix the bran with water for purposes of feeding the animals. So the Gemara says, who's that like? V'amarli Rav Yosi Bar Yehudahi. So Rav Yosef said it's like the Tana Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda. The Tanya, Echanotin Kemach, Echanotin L'tocho Mayim, Ha'achron Chayiv Dibur Rebbe. If one person adds flour and the other person adds water, so Rebbe holds the second person is Chayiv Felisha on Shabbos. And it was just adding the water to the flour, you're Chayiv Felisha. Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda Meir Chayiv Ad Shigabel. Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda says, no, you're not Chayiv till you knead it all together. That's Lisha. So we think that over here in the Mishnah, when he says, I'm just adding the water to the bran, what was it? He says, about notnim, what was it? What was the expression? He says, He says, right. Notni maim lemorsan aval lo govlin, that I can add water to the morsan, but I can't be govel. Oh, very nice. We have a grandson here, the youngest Daf Yomi member. Okay, let's take a look. So he says, this is the back of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Dilma adkam kama Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda hatam el kemach de bar gibuhu. It could be that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds that Felicia, I need to be megabel. Megabel is like I'm kneading it together, and then it forms like a thick mass, because kemach is capable of forming a thick mass. So there, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says, if I just add the water, I'm not chayav for Elisha. Aval morsan de la bar gibuhu, if Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda moda, maybe by something which is not susceptible to becoming like a thick mass, maybe there Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda say I'm chayav for Elisha when I just add the water. So you didn't prove it conclusively. So the Gemara says lo saka daita, not true. Detani behedya, we learn explicitly a note nimayim lemorsan to Rabbi. Rabbi says I can't add water to the morsan. That's the same thing as he held by the kemach. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda omer note nimayim lemorsan. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda says no, I'm allowed on Shabbos to add water to the morsan. So we see that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda holds if it's something that's not capable of forming a thick mass, and there's no din of leash on a deraisa level. Tana Rabbanan in Govlin and Akali, that you can't knead toasted grain flour and water on Shabbos. The Yeshomer and Govlin, some say that I could do that. So Man Yeshomer, who's the Yeshomer that says that I could knead it? So Amar of Chista, the top line Kuvdan Vam Ben Aleph, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that if it's something that doesn't form like a thick mass on a deraisa level, I'm allowed to do it. Bahani milehu demishani, but provided he does a shinui with it, in other words, still prohibited on a drabanan level, hechi mishani, what shinui does he do? Amar of Chista, al yad, he'll take small amounts, that'll be the shinui, but if it's something that doesn't form a thick mass, he holds on a deraisa level, there's no din of leisha with it. Okay, I think that's it for today. Any questions, comments, thoughts? All right. And nice seeing everybody. Let me end the recording.